Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
As long as you will be somebody who will have an open and a willing heart towards Him and will grab hold of the Word and believe it, He'll look back at you and say, I can use you.
What are you magnifying in life? Is it the Word of God or the problem at hand? Jeremy Pearson's grandson of Kenneth and Gloria Copeland explores the potential of a fully committed believer. Next on today's Believer's Voice of Victory.
You got to come to the place where you're just done being weak. That's what we've been talking about on these broadcasts is getting fit for the fight of faith. And I know the same thing happens to you that happened to me when I heard that from the Lord and He spoke to me months ago and said, Jeremy, I want you fit by 40. I'm 37 years old sitting here, so that gives me this window of time to get fit. And I got to be honest, my first thought was He's talking to me about my physical condition. And I'd been working out a lot at that point. I was like, yeah, I want to get fit. I want to be strong. I want to be stronger physically through the next decade of my life than I was in this one. And that's an awesome goal, and I fully intend on being that way. But you've got to realize that God never speaks to you about change from the outside in. He always talks to you about change from the inside out. So when He was saying fit by 40, what He's saying, Jeremy, is there's something coming that I want you in a spiritual condition where you're ready to walk in it. That's why we've been looking at what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 about being a vessel that he can use, fit for the master's use, prepared for every good work. Those are the two conditions I want to be found in at all times for the rest of my life. Fit for His use, ready for the work, in shape and ready to go. How about you? How about you? Do you want to be that way? You want Jesus to be able to look at you, sanctify you, in other words, pull you out of that crowd and say, yeah, I can use you. I mean, imagine standing in a line there. Imagine being a kid out on the kickball field, right? And captains have been chosen. And Jesus is one of the captains and He's going through and He's picking out who He wants on His team. Now, you experienced that. I experienced that. And who do they always pick first, right? They pick the big kid, the strong kid, the fast kid. And really what they're saying, they're picking the one that's in shape. They're picking the one that's fit, that can do the most good. Well, Jesus, we know this, He's not looking at the outward condition first. God had to tell Samuel, I don't look on the outward appearance. I'm looking at the heart. So He's looking for a heart that's in shape. He's looking for a heart, a willing heart that's fit for His use and ready for the work. So we left off yesterday looking at the life of Abraham, because here's somebody who God could use. This is somebody God said, yeah, I can use this guy. Abraham's one of the first guys that got picked for the team, man. I mean, he said, I could use this guy. And that's why we're looking in Romans chapter 4, going back to these basics of faith, re-engaging in the contest of faith, which contest is marked by the beauty of its technique. That's what 1 Timothy 6:12 says in the Weiss translation. And somebody who's got good technique is somebody who's just a master of the basics at whatever it is, be it sports or academia or in any arena of life. Somebody who's got that good technique, who's good at the fight, is just somebody who's mastered those basics. So that's what I want to be. That's what you want to be, a master of the basics of faith. And you see that here in Romans chapter 4. We read yesterday about God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were. Basics of faith. When you look at things, what are you calling it? Are you calling it like it is? Or are you calling it like you see it? Or are you calling it like God sees it? To call it like you see it is not faith. To call it like He sees it, that's faith. That's the basics of faith. And if you'll learn to do it in small ways and small things in your life, you'll develop in that skill and you'll grow to a place where you can be like Paul and say, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, not as one who doesn't have an impact, but somebody who knows how to use their faith and have an impact, not just on their lives, but on the lives around them. This goes on. Listen to what it says about Abraham here. Verse 18, he, contrary to hope, or in other words, there was no reason to expect the promise of God to come to pass, and yet he expected. In hope, he believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he didn't consider his own body. So that's what weak faith does. Weak faith would look at the outward appearance. Weak faith goes by what it sees. And had Abraham looked at the outward condition, here's an old man, he said, consider not his own body already dead. Now, don't get tripped up on this word, consider it. I think sometimes people have thought, well, if I'm in faith, I just ignore everything, or I just pretend that it's not real or it's not there. And that's not what this means at all. Abraham wasn't pretending he wasn't old. He's old, and you can't fake it, okay? You can't fake something else because God doesn't honor that. He honors honesty. God will meet you where you are, but not where you pretend to be. See, God will honor your honesty. It's not a matter of ignoring the condition, but the Bible says here, he didn't consider it. I think sometimes people have thought to consider something, if I'm not going to consider it, then I don't think about it. But the word consider means to look intently at, to focus on. In other words, Abraham's old and he knows it. He's like, okay, I get it. I'm old. Sarah's old. I get it. But I'm not going to focus on that. I'm not going to look so intently at that that it's all I see. See, whatever you're talking about came from whatever you're thinking about. What you think on, very soon you will begin to talk about. And the more you talk about something, the more you magnify it. Now, if I were to ask you what happens when you magnify something, you'd probably say it gets bigger. And in a sense, that's true, but let me ask you, does it really get bigger? If I take a magnifying glass and put it on the words, on the pages of my Bible here, do those words actually change size? Do they actually get bigger? No. They just get bigger to me. They just get bigger in my eyes. That's what happens when you magnify something. You don't actually change the size of it. It just gets bigger to you. It just gets bigger how you see it. And the more you talk about something, the more you magnify it. The bigger it gets, the bigger it gets, the bigger it gets in your eyes. And maybe if the Lord enables us to, in the coming broadcast, we can talk about this specifically in the way it relates to your finances. Because people, I think husbands and wives especially, encounter various financial challenges in their lives, financial hardships, tight times, tight places. And especially if it goes on week after week after week, month after month, year after year, the tendency is to look so intently at it, to consider your current state, your current financial state, to consider it so much that you think on it, to where you're just talking about it. And the two of you, husband and wife, wake up talking about it. You go about the day talking about it. You go to your separate jobs or whatever, and you're thinking about it. And because you thought about it all day, what do you do when you come home? You talk about it, and you talk about it, and you talk about it, and you go to bed talking about it. And that financial thing, no matter how big it is to you, you need to understand it's small to God. It's so small. But the more you talked about it, the bigger it got to you. Now, it never actually changed size. It never actually went from small to big. It just went from small to big in your eyes and in your estimation of it. And it can get to the place where it's all you see. So you have to make the decision, what are you going to magnify? You can be like most people who don't walk by faith, they walk by sight, and all they know to do is magnify what they see. This is how it is. I call it like I see it. Well, that is the very opposite of calling it the way God calls it. He calls those things that be not as though they were. It's not how I see it naturally. It's how I see it in my spirit. That's faith. The other's not. Now, don't tell me you've never heard these things before. I know you have. If you've been around this ministry, especially for like 10 minutes, you've heard these things before. They're not complicated. They're not complex. They're simple. But if you'll learn to master these basics of faith, you'll get in the ring and you'll go from novice to professional. And your faith fight will be characterized by the beauty of its technique. And this is what we're heading towards. So what are you magnifying? Are you calling it like you see it? Or are you like David when he said, come, magnify the Lord with me. Let us, me and you, exalt His name. How? Together. That's why I said husbands, wives, the two of you, you got to be doing this together. What are you magnifying together? Are you talking about the need or are you talking about the one who provides for it? Because whatever you talk about, you magnify. Now, to magnify the Lord, He's already big. You understand that, right? He is as big as big gets. He is definitively big. So you're not going to change His size, but He can get bigger to you. He can get bigger in your eyes, in your thinking, in your heart. Oh, come on, somebody. You can come to the place where you magnify Jesus. Husbands, you're talking about Jesus. You're talking about God, your provider. Look, you're not ignoring the need. You're not pretending it doesn't exist. It's not a matter of faking it. No, it's there, all right? You're coming short. I get it. I've been there. You've been there. We all have. But what are we going to do now? Are we going to magnify that? Are we going to magnify Jesus? Are we going to call it like we see it? Or are we going to call it like He sees it? Because one's living by faith and one is living by sight. And you got to decide which one you're going to do. So when a husband decides, okay, we got a financial need. We've got a need of any kind in our lives. But here's what I'm going to do. Instead of talking about the need, talking about the need, talking about the need, I'm going to wake up tomorrow and I'm going to breathe life into the heart of this precious woman laying here next to me. And I'm going to encourage her and tell her, baby, we are going to make it. We are going to get all the way through this thing. God is going to sustain us. He's done it before. He'll do it again. And you let her know, I'm not worried. You don't need to be either. And together, grab hands and out loud, cast all the care of that thing over onto the Lord. And then just begin to magnify, not the need, the provider of the need, the one who makes provision for it. And you magnify Him and magnify Him and magnify Him. And you can get fat and happy just doing that to the point where Jesus is all you see and everything else just fades away into nothingness. And very soon, He'll give you His vision of it. He'll tell you how He sees it. And then you'll start to see that thing as so small, you start laughing at it. You just start laughing at it. You think, that thing had me depressed? Are you kidding me? That's nothing. That is so nothing compared to my God. Now listen, folks, I'm sitting here preaching this to you and I know you, amen, this is so good, Brother Jeremy. Doing it is something else. Doing it is another thing entirely. I'm going to be honest with you, just a matter of weeks ago, I let some of this tightness just get in me and get on me. And I was having a conversation with Sarah about it, and I was doing my best to be in faith, kinda, sorta, but I kept coming back to the fact, well, we don't have what we need. We don't have what we need. What do? We don't have what we need. And Sarah, bless her heart, she almost got to the point, I know she got there, she's frustrated. She's like, look, God's going to provide. And if you're not willing to hear that, if something in you pushes up against that, and how dare you ruin my pity party, you better be watchful over that. Because that little conversation Sarah and I had turned into an argument that turned into me having to come back and get on my knees and say, I was being stupid. Please forgive me. I let strife in, and I let it in through that pressure. I let it in through that total and complete lack of faith. And I know better. Man, I know better. And can I tell you something? It wasn't but a matter of days after that the Lord came through and in a day completely took away all that pressure. We had everything we needed, a giant financial breakthrough came and set us in a new, on a new place. And man, I have to look back and I just look at that and go, I was being stupid. I was just being stupid, calling things like I see it, not like he sees it. Going back to the basics of faith. Abraham, who contrary to hope, no reason to believe it was going to be any, according to the natural, that it would turn out the way God said it would, and still he expected. He became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Not being weak in faith, again, what are we doing? Making the decision, we are done being weak. Not being weak in faith, he didn't consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old, the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't look intently at these facts. He didn't study these things and say, it can't be, it can't be, it can't be. You got to watch how much you're looking at this. Your life will follow whatever you're looking at. So you've got a need. You've got a problem. It's not a matter of faking it and pretending it doesn't exist. It's just a matter of not spending every waking moment looking at it. Set your eyes on Jesus. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Verse 21, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Let me read this to you. I'm not sure how much time we've got left in this today, but I want to read this to you. And this is some of these same verses in Romans chapter 4, but I want to read it from the Message translation. He says in verse 19 of Romans 4, Abraham didn't focus. Remember, there's that word again, that word consider. He didn't focus on his own impotence and say, it's hopeless. That's what so many people are doing. Focus on the problem, and what they look at, they respond to. What they look at, they respond to. People are looking at the natural condition and talking based on what they see. But Abraham, our faith hero, the guy God used to show us how it's done, this master of the basics of faith, he didn't focus on his own impotence and say it's hopeless. This 100-year-old body could never father a child, nor did he survey Sarah's decades of infertility and give up. He didn't tiptoe around God's promise, asking cautiously skeptical questions. Man, that is verbatim what I was doing that day with Sarah. I was faking faith while trying to say, we don't have what we need, we don't have what we need, we don't have what we need. And I tried to dress it up in churchy tones. But the simple truth was, I was tiptoeing around the promises of God, asking these questions, how's it going to be? How can it work out? But my example here, he set the tone for us. He didn't go back. He didn't even look back at the decades. He had decade after decade after decade stacked up against him. And man, maybe you do too. Well, so what? I don't care how long it's been one way. God can change it in a second. God can change it in a day. Abraham didn't look back across all those decades of having no children and say, it's hopeless. He just continued to believe. He didn't tiptoe around God's promise, asking cautiously skeptical questions. He plunged into the promise and came up strong. He came up fit for the fight of faith. He plunged in the promise, came up strong. Watch it now. Ready for God. Man, I don't know if we can put these words on the bottom of this screen for you or not, but if you can't see them right now, you need to go get out the Message Bible of this verse and look at what it says. He plunged in the promise, came up strong. That's fitness, ready. Man, what are the two things we've been talking about for days? Fit for his use, ready for the work. He plunged into the promise, came up strong, ready for God, sure that God would make good on what he said. Watch this. That's why it is said Abraham was declared fit before God by trusting God to set him right. Man, I had been studying some of this stuff, all this about being fit and looking at it, and the Lord directed me over here to Romans 4, and I'm thinking, yeah, I've seen this before and it's good. And it just came up in my heart to look in the Message Bible of this. I had no idea that as I was reading this, I was going to find out that God declared this man fit. That word fit means useful. Because Abraham believed God, God said, I can use you. You're useful to me. You are fit for my use. Oh, I love it so much. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He was declared fit before God by trusting God to set him right. Watch this. It's not just Abraham. It's also us. The same thing gets said about us when we embrace and believe the one who brought Jesus to life when the conditions were equally hopeless. The sacrifice Jesus made us fit for God and set us right with God. When you believe, come on, this is that spiritual conditioning right here. This is lifting spiritual heavy weights right here. This is taking you from weak in faith to strong in faith. It's just believing God. If He called you healed, you're healed. If He called you well, you're well. And every time you say that out loud, man, it's like lifting those weights above your head. It's like resisting that, resisting that, resisting that. And in that resistance, strength is building. And as you believe, God's saying, yeah, I can use this guy. I can use this girl. This is somebody I can do something with. You're ready for me now. You're ready to give me this next phase of your life, this next phase of your ministry. You are getting into shape. He was declared fit. I love it. Useful. Useful. God's saying about him, he's useful to me. Why did he choose Abram? Why did he choose this guy called Abraham? Because he was useful. I can use somebody who will take me at my word and just believe what I say. And he'll say the same thing to you and about you. And it's not because of some way you look outwardly. It's not because of some major accomplishment you've had, this, that, or the other. Nothing in the natural. As long as you will be somebody who will have an open and a willing heart towards Him and will grab hold of the Word and believe it, He'll look back at you and say, I can use you. You're fit for my use and ready for my work.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And remember, Jesus is Lord.